Good morning. Welcome to each of you to the Lord's house this morning. It's a joy to see each of you and be able to worship with you in person once again. It's good to see some old friends back today for the first time in a long time. Welcome, Gina and your kids this morning. Long time no see. And the Miller family's here again as well. So it's kind of like a homecoming this morning. Good to see you all. Thank you for your continued attention to the new normal of our in-person worship for maintaining physical distance and face coverings. It does appear that we'll be doing this for the foreseeable future. Please remember, folks, that just because we are in a global pandemic, our needs for outreach are still there, and in some ways at a greater level than even before the pandemic. So as you consider your ability to give your financial contributions to our ministries, please remember our needs to keep the food pantry running, and also our other outreach ministries such as school supplies and diapers and clothing for needy families in our communities. Also, please remember that at the end of our service this morning, please do let our ushers dismiss us row by row to avoid the log jam as we make our way to the front doors following our service. So welcome again, folks. Thank you for your presence in the Lord's house this morning. And Andrew, please lead our call to worship.
Good morning. Good morning. Please rise for the call to worship. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his temple. Praise his supreme greatness. Praise the Lord, all living creatures. Praise the Lord. Let us sing our opening hymn, number 622, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, all stanzas.
Before God in a moment of prayer. Loving God, we do give thanks for the privilege of gathering in person here in your house this Sunday morning. We ask your blessing on our fellowship and our worship and on your message. We invite the presence of our living Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, into our midst as we begin our worship service. It is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Lord, into the Father, and to the Good morning, everyone. It's a joy to see you in the Lord's house this morning. As we go to God in prayer, a number of people for us to continue to remember as this new week progresses. Doug, we're certainly lifting you up in prayer as you go have this second doctor's visit this coming Monday, and hope all goes well that you're able to ascertain what is happening and what needs to be the next step for you, Doug, so we keep you in prayer every day. Also, Arlita is making good progress from that replacement of her left knee this past week. Ted Gorman continues to be in our prayers as he's been recovering from that right carotid artery surgery. Helen Kirby is recovering from the shoulder surgery. And we lift up Lauren because of some balance issues he's dealing with. Kathy Archer and Pam Roberts and Wilma Simpson continue to be in our prayers, as well as Rihanna Ralston, as she may be going into hospital this week, hopefully to really try to get some clarity with the new program that she's with to discover what is taking place. So, Ruth Ann, we certainly are remembering Rihanna every day. Susan Hank's daughter, Candace, continues to make some good progress, and also Dave and Ardith Haynes' nephew, Kent Taylor's been in our prayers. And certainly a number of other folks that we've been remembering as we've journeyed through these past several weeks. May we go before the Lord in prayer this morning. Our loving and most gracious God, we offer you praise and adoration as we assemble in your house of worship this Lord's Day morning. Although we realize our congregation is not in the full force of our assembly during these days of the coronavirus, we know, O God, that your Spirit dwells not only among us here in your house, but certainly also in the presence of all who are a part of our fellowship, and also among those believers worldwide who celebrate Christ as Lord. Today, in our study of your word, we see the Apostle Paul bowing to the floor in earnest prayer to you, O God, even as he writes from Rome to believers over 800 miles and many days of treacherous travel away in Ephesus. Despite the great distance of the times, and even as Paul suffered under the persecution of imprisonment, we know that his mind, heart, and soul are closely tied to his fellow believers in Ephesus and to the welfare of the Church of Jesus Christ worldwide. O God, even as we endure many uncertainties in this year of 2020, may we be inspired by Paul's personal example. May we find ourselves focused on the needs of others. May we find ourselves in earnest prayer for our fellow believers, that we and they as well may experience how broad, how long, how high and deep is Christ's love. This we pray as we recite the prayer that our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive sin and those who sin against us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
A place of quiet rest near to the heart of God, a place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us to wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Hold us who wait before thee, near to the heart of God. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, that calls me from a world of care and bids me at my Father's throne make all my and wishes known in seasons of distress and grief, my soul has often found relief and oft escaped the
Gail and Lenora. As we begin our time of communion, even despite our physical restrictions, may we share in our community reflection by turning to the bottom of the first inside page of your bulletin. I ask God from the wealth of His glory to give you power through His Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. To Him who, by means of His power working in us, is able to do so much more than we can ever ask for or think of. Church, and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. Our hymn of contemplation is number 254, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. We will sing all stanzas.
That I may love what Thou
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians in the New Testament. It's the third chapter, verses 14 through 21. For this reason, I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its true name. I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. And I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and your foundation in love, so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad and long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Yes, may you come to know his love, although it can never be fully known, and so be completely filled with the very nature of God. To him who by means of his power working in us is able to do much more than we can ever ask for or even think of, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus for all time, forever and ever. Amen. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Gracious and holy God, we're indeed grateful for the privilege to once again gather here in your house to see our dear brothers and sisters in Christ, to greet each other personally, and to have the privilege to lift up praise and celebration to your holy name, to hear your word, and to be guided by its principles. And so do guide us this day, O God, as we understand the depth and meaning of prayer as we journey forward day by day. It's in the name of Christ we give thanks. Amen. Here in this section of scripture that was read to you from the book of Ephesians, what we see is Paul breaking into his letter to the Gentile believers in Ephesus with a prayer. Taking a closer look at Paul's letters, we discover that prayer was an extremely important part of his life and a major discipline of his spiritual journey. In the 13 letters that we have in the New Testament from the Apostle Paul, Paul either breaks into his writing with a prayer or he makes reference to prayer 41 times. Modeling after our Lord Jesus, whose prayers are recorded in 25 different occasions throughout the Gospels, Paul, like our Lord Jesus, found great comfort and spiritual connection with God through prayer. And so, as Paul modeled Christ, so also should we model Paul and Christ, right, in our daily lives. Now, what's the context here of this letter to the church in Ephesus? It takes place in the early 60s AD, like about 60, 61, 62. Different people who write commentaries have different dates. That's okay. And we know it's not long after this that Paul actually dies. So this is at the latter portion of his life. And he is imprisoned in Rome, unable to be out and about evangelizing or visiting the believers in the various churches that he had founded. Paul takes to more writing. And here, while he is in prison, he writes the letters of Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon. And upon their completion, Paul sends these letters out to their respective recipients by the hand of Tychicus and Onesimus. In our era that's so often filled with self-indulgence and self-consideration, we must genuinely appreciate, as we read Paul's letters during his imprisoned state, that he does not spend time talking about his condition or his circumstances. All of that is absent. His focus is on the genuine concern of the believers in the churches that he has established. He has a personal spiritual consciousness that is well worth us taking note of. And Paul's focus is on a genuine concern for the welfare of the ongoing success of the Church of Jesus Christ and the spiritual welfare of the people within the church. Paul does not deal with specific problems in the church in Ephesus as we see in some of his other letters. Again, here in this latter portion of his life, it's as if Paul is looking more heavenward rather than of the earthly presence. And as a consequence, he gives us wonderful lessons to consider as we walk through our daily lives. Listen to Paul as he writes, for example, in the second chapter, beginning with the first verse. In the past, you were spiritually dead because of your disobedience and sin. But then as we go to verse 4, he says, but God's mercy is so abundant and his love for us is so great that while we were spiritually dead in our disobedience, he brought us to life with Christ. In our union with Christ Jesus, he raised us up with him to rule with him in the heavenly world. He did this to demonstrate for all time to come the extraordinary greatness of his grace in the love that he showed us in Jesus Christ. So you see, his focus is not on personal issues or troubles within the church. His focus is upon the essence of what the church is all about. Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior, that through him we have been redeemed from sin and given the privilege to be united again in Christ. Now, as he continues on in the book of Ephesians, we get into the third chapter. And here we see in the first verse and continuing, Paul writes, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, pray to God. Surely you have heard that God in his grace has given me this work to do for your good. Now, what's he saying here? He's saying he's come to give the message to the Gentile people, not just to the Jewish folks. And so in verse 8, here Paul also writes, God gave me this privilege of taking to the Gentiles the good news about the infinite riches of Christ and of making all people see how God's secret plan is to be put into effect. Now, he uses this phrase, secret plan, but what we have to understand is there's nothing secret about that. What he is talking about is that the plan of God was that the message of God's great love through Christ would be shared with people throughout the world, not just to the Jews, but to go on to the Gentiles and indeed to all different parts of the world. As the text continues, verses 11 and 12, God this according to his eternal purpose, which he achieved through Christ Jesus our Lord in union with Christ and through our faith in him, we have the boldness to go into God's presence with all confidence. Now you see, Paul's thoughts are consumed by the possibility of the church of Jesus Christ being the great vehicle through which all humanity could come together to God. And so, as we continue on here, we get to the section that is our focus for today. What we see is that Paul, in his earnestness, he just is compelled to believe that he needs to fall on his knees before God and offer up a prayer, even as he is writing this letter. Could you imagine him, as difficult as it was to write in this particular time period? Or even if you were on your keyboard, you know, typing away, could you imagine just finally getting to that state in your consciousness where you just got to stop and you got to get down on your knees and offer a prayer to God? Well, here we see him doing that even in his writing. Verse 14, for this reason I fall on my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth receives its true name. Now, in this simple expression, we must grasp the sheer depth of Paul's earnest prayer. Because when he writes, I fall on my knees, this is an extraordinary expression for a Jewish person. Because Jewish people in biblical times and now have the custom of standing and raising up one's hands before God and offering up a prayer in this stance. But in the Greek, what we see is not only Paul going to his knees, but literally going to the floor with his head to the ground. You know, kind of like the way Islamic people pray, right? Go down to the ground. And that's the expression that we have Paul giving to us here in this text. He is so earnest in his desire to offer up this prayer on behalf of the Gentile believers in Ephesus. And so that gets us to our key 3:16 verse for this particular Sunday. Again, remember, all these weeks we've been looking at 3:16 verses in the New Testament, starting with John 3:16, then 1 John 3:16. We've now been working our way through the New Testament. This takes us to Ephesians 3:16. I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. Paul is asking God from the wealth of his glory. Now, we spoke about glory in the 2 Corinthians text last week. Remember that, for those of you who were here? We remember that that word glory is to experience the full joy of God's great presence. Certainly, in God's eternal realm, as it is also possible for us when we focus on spiritual godliness in our day-to-day life today. Paul is asking God from the wealth of his glory to give the Gentile Christians, and indeed each of us, the power of his Spirit. What is meant by this word power? Well, the word power here in the Greek actually is a word that is the derivative from which we get the word dynamite. In the Greek language, however, it means to have the ability to do or to accomplish. It means to enable or to equip. And so Paul is saying, from the wealth of God's glorious presence, I am asking God to enable you through the Holy Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. Now, the Greek believers here knew what Paul meant when he used that expression, inner self, because they knew, in their way of thinking, inner self was the combination of one's reason, one's consciousness, and one's will. As one has the mental ability to reason through conscious thought, one also has the ability to accomplish that which is just, that which is moral, and that which is right. With Paul's use of precise words in today's 3:16 verse, Paul is essentially saying to the Ephesian Christians, as he could also say to you and me, I am earnestly falling on my knees in prayer before God to ask God from the wealth of his glorious personal presence to enable you through his Spirit to be strong in your ability to accomplish that which is just, moral, and right. That's the essence of Ephesians 3:16. Now, you know, in our present world, driven by a media culture filled with simplistic catchphrases, demeaning gestures toward others different from ourselves, and driven by self-centered interests, couldn't our experience be more like heaven on earth if God, from the wealth of his glorious presence, enabled us through his Spirit to be strong in our ability to accomplish that which is just, moral, and right? And as we see Paul kneeling before God in prayer, even in his writings, we must ask ourselves, what is it that would compel us to fall on our knees before God in the most earnest of prayers? Now, you know, as we ask ourselves that question, we easily find ourselves going in our mental consciousness to the ideas and issues and concerns that are of ourselves, right? And we'll start listing off, and, well, I got this health concern or that financial concern or this or that or the other. But as we know this comes from Paul, and we know the condition that he was dealing with, we have to truly be inspired by his example. He's not focused on himself. He's focused on the Church of Jesus Christ. He's focused on wanting to empower believers to be the best of the church that they can possibly be through the inspiration of God's Holy Spirit upon them through their very daily actions, right? And so that is his most earnest prayer, even as he is nearing the end of his life. You know? And so even in our era of this pandemic, with all the difficulties and challenges and uncertainties that we face, isn't it true that if we all were on our knees with this level of earnestness toward others rather than toward self, that we could indeed be guided by God's Holy Spirit to discover those solutions that would help us as a community, as a city, as a state, as a nation, as a world, to truly resolve the difficulties at hand and step forward in ways that allow the kingdom of God to come about on earth today. Right? So you see, we add to our list this morning one more key verse. Here it is, Galatians 3:16. Paul says, I ask God from the wealth of his glory to give you power through his Spirit to be strong in your inner selves. Now, there is far more spoken about Christ's love in this text that we don't, unfortunately, have time to deal with here. I would encourage you to read the fullness of this chapter. Or if you have time today, read all of the book of Ephesians. It'll take you about the length of time it takes to read the sports section of the newspaper. Right? Not very long at all. But as the text continues, Paul says, and I pray that Christ will make his home in your hearts through faith. I pray that you may have your roots and foundation in love so that you, together with all God's people, may have the power to understand how broad, how long, how high and deep is Christ's love. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, I welcome you to consider coming forward and in making that confession of faith today. Or if you need a church home, I welcome you to consider Berry Christian Church as we turn to our hymn of invitation there in the flyer in your bulletin. It's the number 586. Open my eyes that I may see. We're going to sing all stanzas, please. 586.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Wakes in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, sweet. Fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Silently now I wait for thee, ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Love with Spirit divine.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning, and it's great to see part of the Share family and Steve and his family. Bless you all. So wonderful to see you all back in worship. And Bill, our regional minister here, Bill Rosheim, kind of snuck in. And Bill, God bless you. It's wonderful to see you. Please say hello to Bill. And I do wish you all the very best as you journey forward with the new week. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, as we depart, your Spirit empowers us to truly feel the great joy of your glory, your peace, your understanding, and to empower us to do that which brings benefit to others. Guide us as we step forward in the new week. It is in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen.